there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Searcy.
Jeff, the other day, I think just yesterday, as of recording, I don't know if you noticed that nip in the air start to increase.
I did, in fact.
You noticed the wind start to pick up, a little bit of cool breezes at night.
Yes.
As the spooktacular creeps ever closer, and the first sign of the spooktacular coming was that pumpkin spice lattes are back in stores!
Boo! Boo! Well, actually, no, not boo, because it helps me identify all the basic bitches I can find. Well,
you're looking at one right now, baby. Yeah,
I knew it. I knew he wanted the pumpkin spice.
I went to Smoky Row, got the pumpkin pie latte.
Is that good?
It's really good. Best thing at Smoky Row, they make their eggnog lattes with A&E eggnog.
Ooh, that's cool.
So, listeners, if you got a Smoky Row, which is a Des Moines-specific chain nearby...
If you happen to live in the same city as us.
stop and grab one. Tell them Jay and Jeff sent you, and they'll look at you like you're crazy.
Yes. Absolutely deranged.
Speaking of crazy and deranged, hey, nice segue.
Ooh.
Let's deck the halls as we talk about 1989's Elves.
Elves, you say?
Limited theatrical release, October 24th, 1989.
Good. Not bad.
But VHS release, December 19th, 1994.
There's where you want to be, definitely.
I mean, man, imagine going to the video store, see it on December 19th, seeing this on the shelves, seeing that awesome cover of the Christmas present with the, like, evil elf hand shooting out of it. You go like, man, that looks so cool. And then you rent it. And you know what? It is really cool.
It is, in fact, very cool.
Written and directed by Jeff Mandel. Writing credits also for Mike Griffin and Bruce Taylor.
Hmm.
Dan Haggerty, Grizzly Adams himself, yes, plays ex-cop Mike McGavin.
Yes.
Julie Austin plays Kirsten. Deanna Lund plays her mom. Unnamed mom.
I need Deanna Lund in my life, Jay.
Bora Silver plays her grandfather.
Yes, her grandfather.
Listener, nothing to read into there.
Nazi grandpa.
And he was also in Escape from New York.
Cool.
Christopher Graham plays her brother Willie.
Oh god, I love Willie.
Oh,
clip that.
Oh, we've got some Willie quotes coming up later. Taglines: they're not working for Santa anymore. Sorry, they're not working for Santa ... anymore. What the fuck? Why? If they're not working for Santa, why do you need the ... anymore? That doesn't. They're not working for Santa. That's perfect. You don't need the rest of that
anymore.
But another one: 'twas the night before Christmas, and all through the town, bloodthirsty elves are about to get down.
Yes, that's perfect.
That's a great one. Filmed in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Yeah.
According to one Mr. Matt Dupay, $150,000 budget. And speaking of Matt Dupay.
Yes.
According to his book, A Scary Little Christmas, A History of Yuletide Horror Films from 1972 to 2020. Action International, the name of the production company, had only created the box art, the one with the elf hand coming out of the box and the tagline, "They're not working for Santa anymore," and sold the project on spec. We assumed the movie would be about the rampaging elf, a Christmas misfit. We had no idea it was about an elf that had to impregnate the virgin, this virgin on a certain night to create a hell spawn for the future Nazi war race.
Yes.
I never saw a script, even when I was in Colorado. The first clue we were headed to someplace wild is when Santa says oral to the girl sitting on his lap.
Yes.
That's when we knew. We discovered towards the end of the shoot the whole Nazi element to it, and I don't know if it took the fun out of it, but we hadn't gone into it really knowing what the film was about. A slight plot twist in our department. I can't imagine being handed the script today.
I can. I would be very pleased if I were handed the script today.
That was Patrick Denver.
Patrick Denver, from Colorado.
And then he was one of the guys who designed the puppet. Mm-hmm. And then Mandel and crew shot the feature over 16 days in Colorado Springs.
Impressive.
It was shot on 16mm, a more affordable format used at the time for pilot episodes or projects not intended for theatrical release. The entire production cost only $150,000.
Damn.
Denver received second unit director credit for shooting alternate shots of the various elf props. Action International released elves on direct-to-video markets in time for Christmas 1989 in both Europe and North America. Though panned by critics for its mean-spirited essence, outrageous dialogue, and low-budget creature effects, Elves was appreciated by horror fans and B-movie addicts. Elves also marks the first use of a Christmas elf in a horror film with salacious Nazi themes to completely upend the Christmas holiday spirit.
But it wouldn't be the last.
I mean, I think there is at least one other movie called Elves.
Yes.
And then there is also The Elf, and then I think there is The Elves. Where to watch, Jeff?
YouTube.com. But also, where the fuck's my Blu-ray?
Yeah. As this movie had never got a VHS release, never got a DVD release, and has never gotten a Blu-ray release.
It's a damn shame, given the fucking garbage, absolute trash we've seen on Blu-ray, and this doesn't get one. Come on now.
I have a VHS rip that is on DVD, but the YouTube version, the only way to watch it otherwise is, I believe, also maybe even the same VHS rip that I watched.
It's probably exactly the same one, yes. Somebody has got to get this and get it preserved on Blu-ray.
We'll talk more about that later. Personal experience, I believe this is another Jeff favorite. When we were initially compiling the list, I'm pretty sure you're like, there's this movie called Elves, and it's got like Nazi scientists trying to bring back the master race through elves, and I went, sure, let's put it on the list.
Yeah, now we finally got to it, and I'm glad that we did, because my God, what a movie.
Anything else, or you wanna dive into our synopsis?
You know what, Jay? It doesn't matter if you peep on your sister in the shower as long as you get to see big tits.
That is a lesson to
That's
take
a
from
lesson
this movie.
I learned from this movie. And also, no matter how mean your mom is, she can still look hot taking a bath.
Big fat tits, I believe is what he said.
Yes, he loves them. He doesn't care where he gets them. And he's going to tell everybody at school, like they didn't know already.
Opening credits and title card play over scenes of Christmas decorations.
Yes.
We cut to a forest where Kirsten and her friends Amy and Brooke are performing the ritual of anti-Christmas.
Yes, I love that.
Brooke finds a picture Kirsten has drawn of a naked lady with boxes around her boobs.
Which we'll find out what that means later.
Kirsten says it's their symbol, the Virgin of Anti-Christmas, at which point Amy goes, ew, virgin! At one point, the candle that Kirsten had lit starts to flicker and go out and gets knocked over. The glass breaks and cuts Kirsten's hand. The girls pack up and leave, but in their hurry, they don't see that the ground starts to smoke and move as a claw shoots out of the ground where the blood landed.
Oh my God, what have they resurrected?
Kirsten sneaks back into her house and puts an old occult book that belonged to her grandfather away.
And then he smacks the shit out of her because she stole his book.
She gets distracted by a crystal on his mantle, and then the grandpa rolls up in his wheelchair and smacks the shit out of her for touching his stuff.
Lying, stealing my book.
Whatever lie you were about to tell me.
Don't even fucking bother. I know you're in those woods.
Kirsten cleans up the cut on her hand, and we meet her asshole of a mother who asks, "Oh, are you hurt? Good." And then as punishment for going through her grandfather's stuff, her mom is going to take all of her savings from her.
Yeah, you take that savings. You take it.
Kirsten takes a shower, and while she is getting dried off, her little brother Willie starts peeping on her, and she chases him off.
Yeah, he wants to see big tits. What do you think, Jay?
Later, still that same night, Kirsten bemoans her life to her cat, Agamemnon.
Yes, of course. Agamemnon, who she found out later was a female, so the name is completely unsuitable.
In between all of these scenes, we've had brief POV shots of the creature with the claw running through the forest following Kirsten home.
And Jeff seriously breathing.
Jeff actually did all the,
breathing effects for the elf, yes.
We now see the creature break into their basement and sneak around the house. It attacks Willie in his sleep.
Absolute disgusting little monster.
And it is screaming, wakes up the whole house, but it crawls out the window. Kirsten's mom blames Agamemnon. Which, out of context, just saying that line, yes. I blame the son from the Odyssey for this.
He's the king from the Odyssey. He's the one who started the Trojan War.
Oh, yeah. The next day, Mike McGavin, ex-cop, arrives at the mall.
You know what? What a cool guy. I just got to get it out of the way now. Anybody who says this guy is unsuited to be the lead in this movie, I don't know what you're smoking. He's perfect for this.
While inside, Kirsten is working at a restaurant. On her break, she, Brooke, and Amy go to goof on the mall Santa.
I've been waiting to goof on Santa all day. What exactly does that mean?
There's our quote for the episode.
Yeah.
Mike McGavin runs into the mall's owner, Hugh, and asks for a job now that he's gotten sober, but Hugh turns him away. And at Christmas time, too.
Merry Christmas. Great.
The mall Santa, with the realest beard you've ever seen,
oh, yeah,
that's definitely not falling off his face.
No, never.
Asks Kirsten for oil. What is he, the American military industrial complex? Ask Kirsten for oral, and she slaps him.
See, that's what I wasn't clear about. Was he asking her for oral, or was he saying that was the gift he was going to give her?
Yeah, I don't know.
She wouldn't tell him what she wanted.
Hugh fires the Santa as we see the creature follow him, grabbing a knife.
He threatens to fire them both because she did this while she was in uniform.
In the back room, the Santa goes to snort some blow, but the elf stabs him repeatedly in the dick and, according to a police officer, also cuts his balls off.
Cut off his balls, ladies and gentlemen.
While Kirsten has been at work, her mom has drowned Agamemnon in the toilet and buried the body in the backyard. Mike gets back to his trailer, where there is a notice to vacate plastered on the front door.
Damn, rough.
That night, while Kirsten is asleep, she hears a noise at her window, thinking it's Agamemnon. She goes to check, but it's the creature holding Agamemnon's corpse, rubbing it against the window.
Yep. Well, hey, he saw that she wanted her cat back. She was calling out the window for it, so he thought he'd be a nice guy and bring it back.
Kirsten wakes the whole house with her screaming, and her grandfather seems to know something that he's not telling her. She leaves the room, and he tells her mom something that the elves are here.
And the mom's like, not this bullshit again.
And then we see Grandpa do some weird ritual with the crystal on his mantle.
Such a fucking weirdo. The most obvious Nazi, by the way, you've ever seen.
What's Jeff? No!
Me? Never.
The next day, Mike is at the restaurant and strikes up a conversation with Kirsten, and they bond a bit. Then Hugh shows up and gives Mike the job as the new mall Santa. We get a brief scene where there's a crying baby on Mike's lap. And as he lifts the baby off, the baby's peed through its diaper onto his small Santa outfit.
Which, to his credit, he doesn't freak out.
In the back, he is looking at where the Santa had gotten killed the day before and finds a weird rune in the ground.
Ooh. Which we'll find out about that later.
A weirdly sinister German man stops by Grandpa's and gives him another piece of the crystal.
Is there any other kind?
And says, "When." No one who speaks German could be evil.
No, never.
When there is no more room in hell, the elves will walk the earth. And he also says that Kirsten is the most important person on Earth, and she will birth the new order.
Have you ever seen The Boys from Brazil, Jay, with Gregory Peck?
I'm aware of it.
Yes. This movie reminded me of that.
This is like a Gregory Peck movie, Jeff, yes, seriously.
It is. I mean, the plots are strikingly similar.
Kirsten and her friends make plans to sneak into the mall tonight to fuck their boyfriends.
Oh, boy.
And Amy lifts her shirt in the middle of the mall to show everybody the red lace bra that she's wearing. And then is immediately told that I think Gabe doesn't like red.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure that's what he's going to be focused on.
And we see a sinister German man watching them.
Is there any other kind?
Die, Bart, die. No, it's German for the Bart, the.
Yes, of course.
Mike disables the alarm to the mall and tapes the door latch so he can sneak back in the mall later. Kirsten goes to do the same thing and finds that it's all already been done and doesn't question it. Just go, okay.
Yeah, I mean, let's roll with it.
Mike goes to the library where he is looking for a book about occult symbols and runes and is told to start in section 666.
This has got
to
be a joke, right?
And then when he finds the book, the page is ripped out.
Oh, they're trying to keep the knowledge from us, ladies and gentlemen.
The girls arrive at the mall. One of them untapes the door. Mike shows up, finds the door is locked, so he goes to break in. But then in the meantime, Kirsten has gone, why'd you untape the door? So she retapes it.
Yes.
And so then Mike goes and just opens the door himself.
It's a classic Scooby-Doo style prank.
It really is. And they're both unaware of each other's presence for a while until Mike finally spies them. He goes downstairs to talk to them and confront them about being there. When Kirsten realizes that he's also not supposed to be there because he's the one who taped the door initially.
And don't forget, these women are in the worst lingerie possible. I can't even imagine picking any worse.
And they all promise to be good.
Weird, but okay.
The boyfriends show up and start banging on the door to be let in. And when the door finally opens, it's three sinister German men.
Oh my God. I was so glad that those fucking meathead boyfriends got killed off screen immediately.
Amy goes to meet the boys wearing some lingerie, but then gets murdered by one of the Germans.
Rest in peace, Amy.
There is a shootout between Mike and the Germans, and also the creature, the elf, is running around, lurking around the mall.
Doing elf things.
Brooke gets chased by the elf, which demonstrates both super strength and super speed by one, being 2 feet tall and keeping up with a girl who is running down multiple flights of stairs.
Yes.
And two, knocking a door over.
Yes, yes.
It corners Brooke and stabs her, killing
indeed,
her.
Indeed, indeed.
The sinister Germans flee when they hear police sirens start to blare. Mike and Kirsten get fired by Hugh on Christmas Eve, but instead of them getting arrested, one of Mike's old cop buddies gives him 24 hours to figure out what's going on.
This is where we get the first hint of what's going on, because the Nazis won't shoot at Kirsten when she's by Mike. Because they're like, oh, no, we can't hit her. We can't harm her or whatever. And that's why they back off.
Yep.
It's like, oh, really? You don't say...
Mike gives Kirsten a ride home where Kirsten's mom accuses them both of being on drugs and that she doesn't believe them. But Grandpa stops Mike asking what he saw. And Mike tells him like two foot little monster,
a Nazi gremlin.
And then Mike sees the same symbol from earlier on the ground in their house.
Mm.
And as Mike leaves, Kirsten's mom calls what's going on Grandpa's mess. Who knows what that could mean? We'll find out.
Who knows?
Grandpa tells Kirsten to pack her things and he will get her out of here, and that he has to teach her how to undo the things he's brought on her.
Nice.
We then get a great scene where Mike goes into a college library to meet the occult professor, and a student tells him that he's not allowed to smoke in the library, and then he walks into the room with the professor, and the professor is smoking.
Of course he is. Yes.
Mike then proceeds to light another cigarette.
Yes.
The professor looks at the symbol and says that it's not a rune, but a tribute to elves, and shows Mike a book that includes a picture of two elves fucking a woman.
Yes, as they do.
And that the Nazis believed in elves,
Because of course they did.
Jeff, you don't think these sinister Germans are Nazi alpha cultists, do you?
You know, Jay, I don't want to label all Germans with the same broad brush of being sex pervert Nazis, but I'm thinking these guys might be sex pervert Nazis.
I agree. I would hate to do that, but it seems like this is the logical conclusion.
Seems like, based on the movies I've seen, that they're almost all sex pervert Nazis, Jay.
The professor tells Mike to go see another professor for more information on elves. Mike leaves, and then one of the Nazis follows.
He's like, Nazis aren't really my area of expertise. Nazi studies.
At Kirsten's, Grandpa messes with the crystal while Kirsten's mom reveals that Grandpa is both Kirsten's grandfather and her father.
Oh boy.
This makes Willie's peeping from earlier make a lot more sense.
Yes.
Mike arrives at Professor O'Connor's house on Christmas Eve.
So Willie isn't blonde, so does that mean that he's a kid from another guy, or is he actually her brother, full brother?
I have no idea. Because I don't know. I don't know if the writers had any.
He doesn't look like the mom or the sister, and he doesn't act like them either. So I'm wondering if he's also Grandpa's kid or if he's another guy's kid.
I'm probably another guy's kid. They didn't need to make a second.
Well,
a second and whatever.
Well, I was thinking maybe he failed the first time and she had a boy, so then he had to do it again. I don't know. We're diving too deep into the Nazi incest logistics here, Jay.
Mike arrives at Professor O'Connor's house on Christmas Eve, interrupting dinner to ask about the elves, and Professor O'Connor tells him the Nazis believe the elves carry the gene for the master race in their sperm, and that a perfect virgin human mate can be consummated with on Christmas Eve. And Jeff, tonight's Christmas Eve.
Oh boy. Yes, he says that it was a Nazi. Well, there's two theories. Either the elves are this way naturally, or the theory he thinks is more likely is the Nazis genetically engineered the elves to carry this gene to make the master race.
Yeah, of course. But it's not that he's going to give birth to another elf.
No.
He's going to give birth to... She's going to give birth to the Antichrist.
It's
going to
be a third species, which... he references, because he references Noah's Ark and the flood or whatever, that first professor, and he talks about the Nephilim, which are the child of an angel and a human woman.
Yep.
So I'm guessing that's what the Nazis are trying to recreate with this, a supernatural being and a human mating.
Kirsten's mom takes a bath while Mike is chased by one of the Nazis who, it turns out, put a bomb in his car.
Of course. Yes.
The bomb blows up, but Mike is able to jump out just in time. And when the Nazi pulls over to check on the flaming wreckage, Mike pops up and beats the shit out of him.
Excellent.
And then at one point, he's like, "How many teeth you got in your head?" Punches him in the face. "How many now?"
Yes. Fucking Dan Haggerty, so fucking cool.
Then the Nazi takes a cyanide tablet and dies, and Mike finds the elf symbol on a ring and steals the Nazi's car.
Was this your guys' new party symbol? Actually, it's the old one.
Back at Kirsten's house, the mom is taking a bath, and the elf pops up and pushes the radio that Kirsten's mom is listening to into the bath, electrocuting and killing the mom.
Now, see... I thought the reason she was running the bath in the first place was maybe she was going to kill herself now that she told her daughter
the secret,
the secret or whatever. But no, she gets murdered by the elf.
Yep. And then it shorts the electricity in the house, and also the elf paints the symbol in her blood on the side of the bathtub.
That's pretty metal, elf. I'll give you that.
Mike shows up to save Kirsten. And Grandpa/Dad says that they need to complete this ritual to stop it, because if the elf gets to Kirsten, she will give birth to the Antichrist. Grandpa gets Kirsten's sketch of the Virgin of Anti-Christmas out of her sketchbook and connects the boob lines to form swastikas.
Which, yeah. Well, I'm not saying that I've seen women in swastika bras before, Jay. This is an accurate representation.
I believe Silent Night, Deadly Night, the remake, has a woman in a swastika bra.
Yes.
Also a Christmas movie. Weird.
Weird.
You know what? Later on, more Christmassy than I was led to believe.
You know what? Jeff and Jay, they watch a lot of movies where Nazis show up at Christmas time.
Grandpa gets out the crystal, saying it's an elf stone and the only way to kill the elf.
Yeah, of course.
The Nazis show up and fight Grandpa and Mike. Grandpa shoots one of the Nazis like multiple times, but the Nazi just tanks the shots enough to grab the gun from Grandpa and then fall over, handing it to the other Nazi. The other Nazi shoots Grandpa, and then Mike goes to fight that Nazi, but the other Nazi wasn't dead, grabs the gun, and shoots Mike again before dying. I then thought we were going to get a scene when Willie runs back to the house of that Nazi popping up again one last time.
That would have been hilarious.
We did not. Missed opportunity.
Unfortunate.
Kirsten and Willie run, and the remaining Nazi chases after them in a Jeep that he immediately drives off the road and flips. At the spot where Kirsten performed the ritual at the beginning of the movie, the Nazi finds them, and then a shot rings out, and the elf had a gun and shot the Nazi with it.
Excellent.
Kirsten tells Willie to go back to the house and get the crystal as the elf approaches her to perform the consummation ritual.
Ooh la la.
About 5 minutes pass of the elf slowly stalking towards Kirsten and like starting to like rub her leg, interspersed with Willie running to the house, getting the crystal, and coming back.
You know what, Jay? Sometimes when you hype it up so much in your own mind, then when you actually get to it, it takes you a little while to get into it, okay? Okay, it's nothing unusual.
Willie gets the elf stone back to Kirsten, who throws it into the hole that the elf climbed out of at the beginning, and smoke starts pouring out of it, and the elf dies.
Not my elf hole.
Day breaks, and Kirsten hugs Willie as snow starts to fall, and the scene fades out, and the credits start to roll, and below the credits is an elf fetus. Was the consummation successful? We'll never know, because this is the only movie.
Shame. You know, we will know, because we're going to find who owns this, Jay. We're going to buy the rights, and we're letting Mike Lombardo make Elves 2.
And we'll get a resolution to whatever happened.
I already have the title. Elves 2, Bloodreich.
End of movie. And Jeff.
Of course, I'll be playing a fat Nazi.
I've got an important question for you.
Yes.
Do you think the American Dad episode, Seasons Beatings, the Omen episode, was partially inspired by this?
Almost 100%. This is totally the kind of fucking trash movie that Seth MacFarlane would have seen, and then it would have stuck in his mind forever, and he would add it into one of his shows.
Because this, like, you know, you watch the episode, and you go, oh, it's just a parody on The Omen.
Mm-hmm.
But, like,
There are way too many similarities.
There are so many small things where I'm like...
Either that or the writer of that episode was a fan, something.
Like, I wonder if someone was sitting there, like, you know, because clearly a bunch of the episodes, a bunch of the American Dad Christmas episodes, those early on ones are all based off of, like, I think you get like an It's a Wonderful Life episode.
Yeah, you do. You get that. I mean, I think you get like a Jingle All the Way type parody one. There's lots of different, I mean, what's the famous one? Where Santa attacks him at the cabin.
Oh,
I can't
remember. I don't remember what it's called. For
Whom the Sleigh Bell Tolls. Now, that one's like a combination of a bunch of different like Santa action Christmas movies.
And I think you even get kind of like a couple of them are kind of Santa Claus-y. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Tim Allen movie.
Yeah.
I wonder if there was someone like in the writer's room, and every year they were like, there's this movie called Elves.
Oh, yeah.
And they shot him down every single time, and finally somebody. He found a way to like get it as the plot of an episode.
There are way, way too many similarities for it to just be purely a coincidence. Somebody knew what they were putting in there.
Listeners, if you didn't know already, Jeff and I are big American Dad Christmas episode fans.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Christmas episode fan in general, but especially American Dad.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, man. Jeff, what category do you want to start with?
You know what? We might as well do quotes. Get it out of the way.
All right.
We've already been quoting.
We're quoting all over the place.
I'm not a pervert. I like seeing naked girls with big tits. Willie, the 9-year-old boy. You're a cool guy, Willie.
Kirsten's mom, are you hurt? Good.
That Willie thing reminded me of the Roseanne episode where DJ is, I think he's peeking at Darlene in the shower.
And DJ!
It's like, she called me a prevert. And Roseanne's like, no, son, you're a pervert. It's fine.
I dreamed these Art Deco boobs. Cool, huh?
Yes. Are Willie, are we going to be all right? Kirsten, no. Willie, Gramps is a Nazi.
I think I had that one too. I'm living a cliche. A cat is the only friend I have left.
Your father's in the study. What? No, grandfather's in the study. Dad is dead. Your grandfather is your grandfather and your father.
No! And there's a little music sting when she says that.
Yes.
when Willie gets attacked by the elf at the beginning, there's your answer. It was the cat, the Kirsten's mom. And then Willie goes, it was a fucking little ninja troll.
Oh, Mike, the first time he's fighting with the Nazis. What are you, a goddamn Nazi or something? Is that elf yours?
The mall Santa. Oral. Kirsten, what?
Oral.
Santa said oral.
That's right. Give Santa what he wants. That reminded me of Bad Santa.
I wonder if someone saw this and was like, you know what? Bad Santa.
When there's no more room in hell, the elves will walk the earth.
I've heard that before.
Yes.
Life is long and life is hard. Kevin's is thick and Dave's is a yard.
Yes.
Amy.
Is Dave's really a yard?
Apparently.
I guess.
Way to go, Dave.
Lucky Dave. How many inches a yard?
Well, that's 36.
Oh, wow.
Talk about a third leg. Mm-hmm. So you should see the hog on Dave.
I don't see how that's logistically possible for the human body to support, but okay.
Yeah.
I heard guys above 10 have a lot of issues, but you know.
Professor O'Connor, when Mike just like bursts in on Christmas dinner, his one of his kids goes, is that roast beast? And then Professor O'Connor goes, no, sweetie, it's roast turkey. Follow-up Nazi quote. The Nazi says to Grandpa, now that hell is full, I wonder where you will go. And then he shoots Grandpa.
This is Brooke and Kirsten talking about the boys showing up. Brooke says, you're not really going to do it, are you? What, those guys? Forget it. I'm saving it for someone special. But how do you stop them? Just say no. It scares the hell out of them. They don't know what to do with it.
Christmas wrapping, favorite sets, costumes, etc.
The elf, pretty cool. For a low budget effect, I thought it was suitably disgusting. The way he scuttles around and is an all around nasty freak.
They do a good job of, I think we've said for a couple other movies, like they do a good job of hiding parts of the elf. So you kind of, when you see it move, you only see certain parts of it move and stuff like that.
Yeah, they did a good job on that. I mean, cool Christmas decorations and stuff around. I like the tuba band playing the Christmas song.
I thought that was great. The mall Santa was appropriately creepy, bad mall Santa with his beard falling off of his face and all sorts of shit.
Cheap Santa suit. Yeah, pretty cool.
I thought the mall was a great set too. Better than the mall from Night of the Comet, which I think is the last movie we had with like a big mall kind of set piece.
Yeah, no, I agree. This was a cooler mall.
I didn't have much else. I got the professor that was in the library. I forget his name. I want to say it was like, it wasn't O'Connor. It was the other one. Or the doctor or whatever.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But, like, I loved his whole getup. I thought he was so ridiculous.
I mean, he looked like a college professor for sure.
Christmas Spirit. How Christmassy is the movie? How Christmassy were the kills?
I mean, it's an elf killing people for some of it, so that's kind of Christmassy.
Certainly when the elf wears the Santa hat, I'd say that's pretty Christmassy. When it stabs the Santa repeatedly in the dick, that's incredibly Christmassy.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that it's an elf, yeah.
I'd say average, probably for both, honestly. I mean, it wasn't like the most Christmassy thing I've ever seen, but there's a lot of Christmas stuff in it.
There's a lot of reminding you that it's Christmas in the different scenes and stuff like that.
Christmas is central to the plot, so that's good.
Yeah, I mean, the...
The only time I can impregnate this girl and create the master race is on Christmas Eve!
Of course!
We all know this, Jay.
This I had gotten the trailer for Alien Seed, one of the other movies from this same company,
which we need to watch.
But oh yeah, we're adding it to the list for some fat boy summer. But this Alien Seed and Humanoids from the Deep all kind of give me the same general vibe.
I hope so. I really do.
Like this is its own category of movie.
Nazi incest Christmas horror. Yes, I love it.
Broken bulb, brilliant bulb, Jeff. One thing you would want to fix for this movie, one thing you want to praise.
You know, I struggled finding a thing to fix because everything I wanted to fix at first seemed like nitpicking it, kind of. Because, I mean, it was like the budget was so low. I mean, you got to kind of put your expectations in line with that. But ultimately, I thought we need a little more character development, I think, with the whole Nazi plot thing. We get a little bit of exposition from Grandpa, almost nothing from the goons, except showing up and saying, "We want the girl." That's pretty much all you get. I would have liked maybe a couple more scenes of like him investigating and maybe uncovering some more stuff to bring to the professor, or maybe Grandpa breaks down and opens up more about what they were trying to do or whatever, instead of just his one little monologue that he does. I thought that probably would have added a little bit to the stakes, and I mean, that was the most interesting part of the movie, so if they'd added more, it would have just made the movie better overall.
Well, if you think your nitpick is nitpicky, Jeff, why the fuck doesn't this have a DVD or Blu-ray release?
I agree 100%. Of all the, I mean, fucking Barricade has a Blu-ray, Jay. Barricade.
I'm The American Scream.
Yes, the American Scream.
A Blu-ray release.
Trapped Alive has a Blu-ray. I mean, come the fuck on.
Vinegar Syndrome, TerrorVision. Hell, TerrorVision, you released the soundtrack to this movie on cassette.
I saw that.
Do a fucking Blu-ray release of this shit. Like,
I mean, somebody's got to do it.
It's got to be being held up by something.
It must be. You know what? If you see Joe Bob again, you should ask him.
Yeah, we should see.
What's the deal with the elves?
I think this would be a great episode of The Last Drive-In for a Christmas episode. Like,
oh, this is right up his alley.
Thing you want to praise, Jeff. Brilliant bulb.
You know, there was a lot of people online talking about, oh, it's so terrible. He's not believable at all. Blah, 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 blah. But you know what I want to praise, Jay? Dan Haggerty does a great fucking job in this movie. He is completely believable as an ex-cop / ex-investigator who was like an alcoholic or drug addict or whatever it's supposed to be. They got him kicked off the force. He's a normal guy. He doesn't try to do any creepy shit. He figures out what's going on and he tries to help this girl. That's pretty much his whole character arc. And you know what? He does. He sells it well. Even the parts that, you know, like the whole, I was like, oh man, they're really going to do section 666, the library. But then he's immediately like, oh, this has got to be a fucking joke. Yeah,
even he calls it out.
Yes. He's like, he reminds me of a movie very recently we watched with Jean-Claude Van Damme's Investigator.
Oh man, how would Dan Haggerty handle the Dark Angel?
You know what? Dark Angel would be half as long if Dan Haggerty was in there, let me tell you.
Yeah, he'd just be beating the shit out of it with his bare hands.
It would have been so fucking cool to see them fight. People are like, oh, he looks like he's a middle-aged, fat, frumpy guy. And I'm like, have you ever met an ex-cop before?
that's what most of them look like. 90,
I mean, my wife has an uncle who's an ex-cop that looks almost exactly like Dan Haggerty. Come on now, people. Let's be realistic. I mean, it would be much more unrealistic to have him be somebody like... Somebody like Jean-Claude Van Damme is not going to be a cop.
my brilliant bulb. The Elf. It was made for under $10,000 and honestly looks pretty good. Yeah,
it does.
There's a lot of scenes where you go, oh, he looks kind of rubbery. He looks kind of leathery. Like he's clearly a puppet. And then they'll do another shot and you go, why does he have so much hair on him? Mm-hmm. Like why is the elf so hairy? And he just looks so gross and I love it.
He is genuinely unsettling. And I am so glad that this movie was made before CGI was widely available. Because if this had been made at the end of the 90s instead of the end of the 80s, you know it would have been a CGI shit fest.
I was going to say, this would be like this would be like Krampus versus Bigfoot, like CGI
oh my God.
For the elf.
Ugh. Gross.
we can finally make a billion elves. We could finally make our movie called Elves.
No,
you have elves in it.
There would have been a Nazi flashback with an army of CGI elves, and it would have been terrible.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I guess it's time for our final rating. Every episode of Horror for the Holidays, we rate our Christmas horror movie on one of three categories. Is it ho-ho-hilarious? Is it seasonally scary? Or is it you'll be sorry? Jeff, take us away.
Seasonally scary. This movie's fucking great. The elf, like I said, is a genuinely unsettling little freak. If that fucking thing showed up in my house, I would either be burning it down or shooting this thing immediately. Also, the existential horror of finding out that the guy you thought was your grandpa is also your dad.
And also a Nazi.
And also a Nazi, yes.
My weird German grandfather is also my dad, and also a Nazi.
Yes. No, Willie. Gramps is a Nazi. And, I mean, that immediately explains why the mom is the way that she is.
No, it does. That reveal does so much lifting for the plot.
Yes.
Because otherwise you're like, why is this mom so terrible to her daughter?
Yes, why does she hate this kid so much? It's like, oh, it's an incest rape baby. Okay.
Yeah, it's the weird Nazi incest rape baby.
That makes a lot more sense now why the mom acts this way. Okay.
The grandpa's like, I didn't want to do it.
Yes. Oh, my God. His explanation of the process.
Oh, my God.
It's fucking... But, yes, this movie's great. Watch it. It needs a Blu-ray release, like we said. The creature is genuine. I mean, for the amount of money, especially. What an unsettling little freak, Jay. There have been way bigger budget monsters that have had absolutely no effect on me, but if I woke up and that fucking thing was creeping around my room... I don't know if I could. I don't know if I could hang, Jay. I don't know.
Jeff, this might be the weirdest movie we've watched since Bloodbeat.
Oh yeah. Oh no, this is definitely on Bloodbeat levels of weirdness.
For me, this is ho 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 hilarious. This is just so goofy and stupid and nonsensical, and yet I just had the best fucking time watching it. I was fucking laughing every. I watched this twice and. On my second watch through, there were so many moments where I'm like, oh, I didn't catch that really funny line the first time. Oh, I didn't catch that little thing. The section 666 thing. I didn't catch that my first watch through.
I never checked the runtime on this once while I was watching it, which is one of the highest compliments on this show.
All that to say, watch this movie if you can. Find it on YouTube, I guess.
Just watch it on YouTube, yeah, because, I mean... There's got to be. Maybe we should just write one of these Blu-ray places that they got like a contact us and be like, elves, why aren't you doing it?
Yeah, do elves.
Maybe they could explain it. Maybe there's a rights issue or something. Maybe Matt could look into it and find out.
Yeah, we should. Maybe after I was busy messaging him about how Ugg/Johnny Steele was also Rum Tum Tugger was the original Rum Tum Tugger in Cats.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe we can ask why Elves doesn't have a boutique Blu-ray release.
Yes.
But Jeff. Maybe we're getting closed this Christmas.
Oh, my God.
Because we stopped the Antichrist Nazi. Or we didn't stop? I don't know.
Something.
The ambiguous ending. Santa's giving us clothes for Christmas. Other reviews.
Oh, great. Here we go. We get to hear a bunch of reviews from a bunch of morons, Jay.
Oh, there's some. I found some real morons.
Dan Haggerty's not even believable. Whatever happened to the everyman action hero? What the fuck is wrong with people now? Oh, yes, I want my MCU-level, muscled-out, tough guy to be the hero of every movie, because that's totally realistic. There's a bodybuilder on every corner.
2 out of 10. Nazi elf versus Grizzly Adams. Yeah. That's the movie. A genetically engineered elf, one elf, pursues the virginal daughter of its Nazi scientist creator and runs afoul of a chain-smoking ex-detective turned department store Santa. I would have loved to have been in the room when this was pitched. So far, I agree with everything you've said. Yeah, yes. This all tracks.
I would have greenlit this, yes.
So yeah, teens get slashed, conspiracies get exposed, university professors get pestered. Yeah, yes, I agree so far. We also find out why you should never wander around a department store in your underwear, why you should always listen to your grandpa, even if he is a Nazi, and how to use a teen's head to open a locked security door. Plus, Dan Haggerty even manages to raise his voice above a mumble. What more could you want? If you only see a few thousand films in your life, make sure that this isn't one of them. And at that moment, they lost me. Because I was like, man, I'm right with you. I don't know why you gave this 2 out of 10. But then to be like, don't watch this movie.
No.
Now, and I don't know. You describe what sounds like a pretty fun movie. And is a pretty fun movie. And then tell us not to watch it. Maybe that's on you, dude.
Okay. This is a 1-star review. I want to note that right off the bat here. And let me tell you if this sounds like a 1-star review to you. Don't waste your time watching this unless you like very, and I mean very bad, low-budget horror.
I do.
And not the good kind of bad low-budget. This is just bad. However, the elf does look kind of cool, and it has boobies, and it has a good kill, and it has a unique plot.
Have I seen this movie before and wrote a review?
And this is 1-star. It's like, you just described like 5 positives right? about the movie. Oh, yeah, I mean, it's crap, except for all these things that are great
except
about it.
Except for all these things I loved, and that's why I gave it 1-star.
Yes. I hate people.
1 out of 10. A horrendous lump of total celluloid coal.
Oh, man.
And, Jeff, there's a very specific reason I picked this one.
Okay.
Bad Gremlins ripoffs were all the rage in the mid to late 80s. Foremost among them... this ignoble bunch of 80s formula schlock horror swill are hobgoblins, spookies, ghoulies,
mm-hmm.
munchies,
mm-hmm.
and leprechaun.
No.
This is nothing like leprechaun.
No. And leprechaun is not a ripoff of gremlins.
If leprechaun's a ripoff of anything, which I'd have to check dates, Child's Play, maybe the closest thing.
Maybe.
Like, maybe that's the thing.
I don't know which one came first.
But this stupendously stinky low-budget direct-to-video dud somehow manages to go that extra shabby mile so it can qualify as the single most supremely shoddy Gremlins cash-in copy to ever crawl its shameful way onto celluloid.
No.
The strictly by-the-numbers plot revolves around an obnoxious virginal teen bimbo,
what?
Blah, blah, blah.
What the fuck did he just say? This is a by-the-numbers plot?
I've never seen a movie like this.
Are there more Nazi incest elf master race movies out there that I don't know about, Jay? Because by-the-numbers means it's a standard plot. Is this happening in a lot of movies that I don't know about?
Maybe it is. blah, blah, blah describes the plot. The groan-inducing cinematic abomination strikes out something terrible on its essential film basis. You've got bland... unbecoming performances from a noticeably disinterested cast, chintzy production values, a confused, hard-to-follow and swallow, messed-up script. I mean, that's kind of what I liked about it.
Disinterested cast. I think everybody in this is pretty much like acting over the top what this is.
This is for a lot of these people. This is the only movie they've ever been in.
Say, I mean, Mom and Grandpa are both way over the top. I mean, even Dan Haggerty gets over the top at certain points.
Flat direction, sluggish pacing, and a very terrible, inexpressive plastic beast. Also, I thought the elf was pretty expressive, honestly. Mm-hmm. That isn't even an elf. It's a lousy troll. It's literally an elf. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Despite a few several fumbled, should-be nifty murder set pieces, a lecherous department store Santa gets gruesomely castrated by the troll. It's an elf. Land of the Giants TV star Deanna Lund as our teen heroine's nasty bitch stepmother. Mother.
Hey, you watch the fuck out.
Winds up eating some seriously lethal amps when the troll tosses the radio into the bathtub she's soaking in. This thoroughly atrocious clunker is nonetheless well worth avoiding altogether. So yeah, that person can go fuck themselves.
1-star. Elves is a total disappointment, even if you expect it to be goofy holiday horror. Your first disappointment is when you realize that the title is a lie and there's only one elf. A cheap puppet that rarely appears and is never seen. What? What? Rarely appears but is never seen? Schrodinger's elf. I mean, if anything, this has more of the elf than I think... like, it says more than the fucking cannibal Bigfoot thing in Trapped Alive.
This has more, mutant cannibal whatever.
Bigfoot whatever.
Yeah. This has certainly more elf than Beast of Walton Street has a Beast of Walton Street.
Yes. Anyway, this should be fun, but the acting is terrible, the plot is ridiculous, and the conclusion comes out of nowhere. Were you not watching the fucking movie? I honestly probably not.
And based off the last guy who thought that the mom was the stepmom.
I watched this while I was scrolling on TikTok, and I didn't think it was very good.
I couldn't follow the plot.
God damn it. The protagonists are completely bland. No. The only over-the-top characters are the completely ridiculous one-dimensional villains, but they can only carry the story so far.
The characters are bland, but also some of the characters are over-the-top.
Yes.
This movie contains multitudes.
And also, they're not one-dimensional. I mean, Grandpa is an incest pervert, a Nazi, some kind of like weird alchemist slash sorcerer.
The Nazi, I like this theory because it combines science and the occult,
yes.
Says the professor.
It's a cash grab for suckers that think they want a weird movie, but actually, it will never be remembered fondly. And it didn't even live up to its limited potential, Jay.
Disagree. I think it exceeded its potential.
It way exceeded its potential. This is one of those things that only, it's as lightning in a bottle.
No, I don't think you can make something this weird this well.
Again, there'd be no like, way. There's no, I mean, even if you recreated the exact same circumstances, you wouldn't be able to do this again. You'd have to have this exact group of people coming together at this exact time to do this again.
To just happen to throw this together. And like, potentially, if the people who like designed the puppet read the script, you might not get the same movie because, yeah, you know, they were only going off of the spec or whatever. Yes,
this would have to be completely independently made today, and it would never be the same.
3 out of 10. Right up there with Troll 2.
Oh, my God.
If you've seen Troll 2, then you already know what kind of experience you'll have viewing Elves.
First of all, Troll 2 sucks way more than this.
Both have misleading title. Elves only has a single elf. Troll 2 has no trolls. Yeah, I agree. Troll 2. Well, yeah, they have Nilbogs.
Yes, there's only a single elf, but there used to be more elves. It's implied that there used to be a bunch of elves.
Yes, it's part of the plot.
Yes.
Ridiculous plots, poor effects, and laughable dialogue. The movie is real.
Why do people hate the dialogue so much? I thought it was actually pretty witty in a lot of places. Yeah.
This movie is really only for people who like to laugh at bad performances.
No.
It has incest, Nazis, a perverted department store Santa, and Grizzly Adams setting a record for the number of times a character takes the Lord's name in vain. I guess I wasn't... you know what? A third showing of Elves is in order to count how many times Grizzly Adams...
I think we do need to watch it again. I mean, I'm always down for that. But two, I don't feel like he says goddamn that often.
I was entertained. Not at the blasphemy, but at everything else.
Oh my God.
So why compare, like, why talk about how bad this movie is and it was, be like, I was entertained.
You know what? It was entertaining and I thought it was kind of weird and cool, but you know what? It's also terrible.
One other thing you might notice about this one, whoever wrote this must have some family issues. The little brother is a perv, the mom hates everyone, and the grandfather is an incestuous Nazi. Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like a regular family.
Family Thanksgiving, am I right?
I was going to say, I mean, with the things that have come to light in the last 5 years, is this really that far-fetched? Is it?
That's my last review.
Oh, have I got a doozy for you for the last one, Jay.
Well, this elf looks like it's straight out of Spirit Halloween.
1 star. 0 stars if I could, because it's Jay Logsdon. I have to give him this.
Also, I wish you could buy the elf prop at Spirit Halloween.
Well, if you're interested in a movie that's got some Nazi bullshit and some Spirit Halloween level effects...
Shut the fuck up! I wish!
Then this is the one for you. Dan Haggerty was actually kind of cool in a badass sort of way. So why the fuck is it...
Yeah, so he was cool!
Why is it 1 star? Anyway... But other than that, I'm not really sure exactly what this movie was about. Are you just not fucking paying attention? Oh my God. I gotta pause here for a second. People on the fucking internet are driving me goddamn insane. There you go. There's some blasphemy for you people out there who hate it. Obsession. I was reading Obsession reviews because I was writing my own Obsession review. And I'm like, oh, let's see what other people thought. Nitpicked it or whatever. The amount of fucking people who are reviewing this and they're like, why didn't he make a second wish? Why didn't he make a second wish?
He tries!
One, he tries. Two, he literally reads at the beginning of the fucking movie, after Nikki gets out of the car, one wish, Willow. You only get one wish. It's literally in the name of the fucking item. This is why studios make movies so fucking stupid. When they dumb it down for the test audiences who don't understand the plot, it must be these fucking people.
This is why Netflix has said their whole model is like
a second screen experience. We repeat the essential plot points about every 10 minutes just in case anybody wasn't paying attention. The amount of times they say one wish, Willow, and you only get one wish at the beginning of that fucking movie and people still don't get it. But anyway, literally the entire movie is about this being a Nazi fucking plot to create the master race. They mention it so many fucking times, it's ridiculous. There's literally a scene where he goes to a professor who exposition dumps the entire fucking thing, and then Grandpa exposition dumps it again.
Like 5 minutes later.
I'm not really sure what was going on in this movie. Zero stars. God.
I like Fired Up Jeff.
God, I can't imagine. Soon, Jay, when the AI gains self-awareness and decides to purge the human race from the Earth.
Skynet takes
over. I will welcome Skynet with open arms. Be like, I'll stand on my roof and be like, we deserve this.
Have you seen the reviews of Obsession?
Yes, have you seen the reviews of Elves? Kill us, please. But yeah, no, I just can't believe it. How do you not know what this movie is about? Could you get a more simple plot?
I don't know. But once again, like you said, it's the people who watch it while they're scrolling TikTok or whatever.
Oh, it's bad. I didn't understand it. Did you watch it? Well, yeah. But did you actually watch it?
Did you put your phone down?
No. It's like the fucking people who go to movie theaters and sit on their phone the entire time. It's like, why bother? You could have done that at home.
Agreed.
But anyway, enough of my crazy rants. The review section is over.
Jeff, naughty list. Where do you want to put the Nazi elf with the sperm that, if it consummates with the perfect virgin on Christmas Eve, can create the Antichrist?
Well, according to Grandpa and the professor, it's invulnerable, basically, unless you use the elf stone to destroy its like little origin point. So I'd say pretty strong. If you don't know its weakness, I mean, it'd be pretty much impossible to kill. I don't know if it could take on some of our stronger people on the naughty list, like in direct combat, but it could probably wear them down over time.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, maybe, like, honestly, maybe below Krampus. Like, I think this, we've had some, like, really high-powered stuff lately. Mm-hmm. I think this, even though it's small and goofy, like I think this dude could do some work.
I mean, it's kind of like what's his name? Sam from Trick or Treat.
Yes.
He can't be killed. Yes, he's a goofy little guy, but you can't get rid of him.
True.
So
yeah, but you know what? Just below Krampus, perfect place.
Yes.
All right, Jeff. Well, it's time for this.
Garbage Day!
All right, we're rounding out the summer of soda, kind of summer related, or kind of soda related, more summer related. Gatorade, Tidal Crash,
ooh,
limited edition.
It's limited. How limited? Who knows? Never limited if it sells well enough. Oh, he's reaching for the Joe Bob cooler. This could be bad.
Oh, Jeff, I have such sights.
Oh, no.
Mike and Ike Thrill Ride Mix.
Oh.
Also summer themed. Mike and Ike Ice Cream Truck Mix. Hmm. Also summer themed.
Hmm.
And I was at work, so blame my wonderful wife Andrea for this, Jeff.
Oh boy.
Oreo chicken and waffles flavor.
I'd never blame Andrea for anything. It's all your fault somehow.
Oreo deep fried flavor.
Ah.
And Oreo banana pudding flavor, which actually sounds delicious.
You know, honestly, I don't hate any of those. The chicken and waffle one, I think, is the most dodgy. But we'll find out.
We'll see how it compares to turkey and stuffing or whatever.
If it's Thanksgiving dinner, I am not finishing it. I'm not doing it. You're talking to the man who went back for a second bite on the corn, the creamed corn Oreo.
Banana pudding smells a little banana-y.
Hmm. All right. I think I got one of each Mike and Ike.
There's a banana pudding for you.
Get a couple of those. Get the flavor on that.
It's a couple deep fried.
Ooh.
I do like that the chicken and waffles has a little waffle pattern as the...
That's a nice touch. Smells like maple syrup. You know what? Maybe it won't be bad.
All right, where do we want to start?
Let's do the chicken and waffles. Let's get it out of the way first.
I don't like that at all.
God damn it.
That's not very good.
You fucked me again.
That's not very good.
I don't like that at all.
No, that's very bad.
You know what, audience? This is for you.
Oh, shit, he finished it.
Mmm, delicious. Wow. I love a chicken-flavored cookie.
Also, they want you to vote on these, listeners.
Oh, do they?
Do not vote for the chicken and waffles flavor. The Gatorade kind of tastes like pineapple or coconut. Pina colada flavored.
Pina colada, yeah.
If you like pina coladas.
Oh, side note for all the perverts out there, as a resident pervert on Horror for the Holidays, do you know pina colada flavored lube is the most popular form of flavored lube?
Now you do. That's a Horror for the Holidays. True fact.
That is. By all sales right. volume.
Which one do you got? Banana pudding?
Let's do deep fried.
All right, deep fried.
Here we go. It's actually not bad. I don't know if I'm a fan of it, but it's not terrible.
It's better than chicken and waffles, but yeah, I'm not crazy about that. Mm. Boy, banana pudding better be good.
I hope so.
I like a deep fried Oreo too. I think that's the most disappointing part about that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm gonna grab some Mike and Ike's while. Oh no, a lot of those are the same color. That's not good.
I tried my best to get one of each.
Red and pink, and I'm gonna put all these other ones back. For some child in my life to discover. All right, banana pudding. That smells delicious. I wonder if they purposely made two of them taste bad so the banana pudding would win.
Maybe.
That tastes like banana pudding.
Does taste like banana pudding. I don't know if it's a good Oreo, but it does taste like the thing it's advertised as.
Ooh, idea. Get a sleeve of these and make banana pudding with them.
Mm. I could see that being good.
Like the way Whatcha Smokin' does theirs with the Nutter Butter.
Mm-hmm. Or like what people do with the Nella wafers and stuff. Yeah.
Yep.
I could see that working. Yeah, I'm not... I don't know if I'm sold on it in cookie form, but yeah, blending it up into a pudding, that'd be pretty cool. I mean, I think it's probably the best one out of these three Oreos.
Yeah, I would vote for banana pudding again. Yeah.
It's no pumpkin pie.
Oh, but what is?
Nothing. We shall never see its like again.
All
right, what do you want to do first on the Mike and Ike's?
All right, I've got two yellow ones. One should be lemonade and one should be creamy banana split.
Okay.
So I'm going to try one.
I think this is the banana one, the darker yellow, but I'm not sure. Or the lighter, which one?
I think the paler yellow might be banana split.
Oh, I don't know if I got that one.
Is that not it right there?
And these look like the same. Maybe I didn't get the darker yellow.
All right, hold on.
I think I'm missing one yellow. I need a dark yellow. Give me dehydrated urine, please. Thank you.
All right. So try the darker yellow.
Darker yellow first.
All right. I wouldn't say lemonade. I'd say just lemon.
Just lemon, yeah.
All right, so lighter yellow.
Lighter yellow.
This one should be banana pudding. Or I guess banana split. I'm getting banana.
I'm getting banana, but I don't know about banana pudding.
Yeah.
Or split, whatever. I'm pretty much just banana.
All right. And then the lighter brown, because there's two brown ones. The lighter brown should be churro. It's kind of cinnamony, but it's not churro.
I don't know if I'd say churro for that.
And the darker one is chocolate waffle cone. Love my chocolate Mike and Ikes.
No.
Ugh. Yeah, that's awful. That's real, real bad.
That's a terrible artificial chocolate flavor.
I'm trying to swallow it without chewing it anymore. Pina colada, come bail me out.
Still good.
All right. The green should be caramel apple.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I'd say it's closest to the actual flavor.
The orange should be orange twist, so I assume like orange dreamsicle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting a little vanilla on there.
Mm-hmm. That one's pretty close.
All right, and then one of these reds is Funhouse Fruit Punch, and the other one is Cherry Ice. Fruit Punch tastes like Fruit Punch.
Cherry tastes like cherry. Yeah. They both taste like what they're supposed to.
Oh, I do like that cherry one.
It's good.
All right, and then one pink one should be cotton candy, and one should be strawberry shortcake.
Not really getting a lot of strawberry on that.
The cotton candy one doesn't taste very good. Like, it just... And I guess it vaguely tastes of cotton candy, but like that did nothing for me.
Yeah, not good. Strawberry's decent, but not much flavor.
I mean, overall, probably the better one is the Thrill Ride mix, because it certainly didn't have the chocolate one.
Yes.
Which is probably what's holding down the ice cream truck one.
Whichever one has the chocolate one, bottom.
But I will say, like, without the chocolate one, I think the ice cream truck would win, because I think all those flavors are better.
Mm.
But that chocolate one is so bad that it makes the rest of them bad by association.
Terrible.
Oreo-wise, banana pudding. Then probably...
Deep fried.
And then at the bottom is chicken and waffles, because that was disgusting.
Oh, gee, what a surprise. The chicken-flavored Oreo wasn't very good. I can't fucking believe it.
Hard to believe. Probably the best thing, though, is the pina colada Gatorade.
I would agree.
Pretty tasty. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, be part of our Garbage Day segment, send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Get in touch with us on social media. We're all the places at horror4holidays. That's horror, the number 4 holidays.
And if you need to take a break after working to continue our plot to bring about the master race, drink a refreshing Gatorade title crash. YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays for all your audio backup needs. Hit us up on all the podcatchers. Leave us 5-star reviews, because that's the only kind we're going to read. Put 0 stars if I could, so we know you're a real sicko who actually listens to the show. We're always proud to be part of the Christmas Podcast Network, although after this Nazi incest arc, I don't know.
Jeff, we survived. Sorry, listeners. I had to eat another banana pudding Oreo because it was so tasty. If we survive being on the Christmas Podcast Network after our Triple Xmas episode, I can't imagine this is the episode that gets us kicked off.
Honestly, we'd have to be pretty fucked up, I think, to get kicked off the Christmas Podcast Network.
I was like, I'm pretty sure Jerry D has this penciled in as one of the movies he wants us to come on and talk about someday.
We 100% need to do that. I mean, yeah, if they're going to let a sicko like Jerry D be on there, why can't we be
right,
on there?
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm talking about.
Jeff, what if we got tattoos of the elf wearing the Santa hat and also holding a gun?
I've been looking to get my first tattoo, Jay. You know what? We should do that.
Elf Santa hat gun, yeah.
Get a couple of swastika tattoos on our arm. Oh, and say, maybe. It's an elves tattoo, guys. It's an elves tattoo.
It's the thing from the movie Elves. would that be more or less offensive than, than the guy who
more.
In Community who goes, it's going to be a maze. I just haven't gotten the rest of it done yet.
Yes, it would 100% be more offensive.
All right. Well, all right. Well, back to the drawing board, I guess. Yeah, all those things that I guess have been said. Other than that, we'll see you next week with a stocking stuffer that Jeff's been champing at the bit to talk about.
Oh my god. You know what? I'll give you a little spoiler. Jeff Searcy will return in stocking stuffers.
Yeah, we're attacking the MCU.
You will marvel at my level of hatred for the MCU.
But anyway, and then in 2 weeks we'll be back with another movie. Thanks for listening. Bye.